Hello again, everyone, and welcome back to the Dion Gordon Podcast. I'm your host, the connoisseur of common sense, the purveyor of authenticity, the man who calls it right down the middle. Dion Tyree Gordon, enough of the bullshit. Let's get to work. Let's begin this with an official apology. Fresh off the versus battle, the ass whooping, the evisceration, the emasculation, the absolute washing that the Locks committed against Dipset. That was ugly, that was brutal, that was disgusting. Cam'ron got chokeslammed through a table. Joel Santana caught a clothesline from hell. Jim Jones caught a tombstone power driver and Stone Cold Stunner at the exact same time from Jadakiss. Locks got Dipset the fuck out of here. Locks sent Dipset to another galaxy. Locks sent Dipset to the moon. That shit was ugly. Bowling shoe ugly. First baby mother ugly. They destroyed these dudes. So I would like to take this opportunity to formally, to humbly, with the utmost respect and deference, apologize to all three members of the Locks. I underestimated y'all severely. I didn't know what the fuck I was talking about. I did a podcast yesterday. I've been running around telling people, talking about this battle, that Dipset was going to win in a clear landslide. They have more hits. They have better records. They make better music. This is what I was saying the last 2 weeks. I was gassed up. I was hype. I had the utmost conviction that Dipset was going to stroll in here and win this battle. What I did not take into consideration was the performance aspect of this. I've never seen Dipset or the Locks in person. I've seen a lot of people perform. I've seen Jay-Z, T.I., Young Dro, the late great Sean Price 4 times. I've seen Lil' Kim perform, Wu-Tang Clan, Ghostface Killah, and Raekwon separately. Inspected Deck, EPMD like 3 times, Slick Rick, DMX, Naughty by Nature, Redman, and Method Man about 4 times. I've seen Pitbull perform live and in person. I've seen Ludacris perform live and in person. I've seen Future and Migos perform. I've seen Young Jeezy perform. I saw J. Rue the Damager do a show over in Tokyo, Japan. I saw Snoop Dogg do a show in Oxnard, California many years ago. I've seen a lot of people live and in concert. I've been to a lot of shows. Unfortunately for me, I've never seen the Locks, and I've never seen Dipset perform live and in person, so I overlooked the performance aspect of this versus battle and completely underestimated what the Locks were bringing to the table, the heavy artillery they were bringing to this battle. They came straight out the gate, amped up, energy, disrespectful. Cam, you don't even live in New York, you live in Miami. First song out the gate by the Locks was Fuck You. That set the tone right there. That set the table right then and there. That let you know, that told you. These brothers came here to do damage, to make a complete mockery out of Dipset. They kicked their ass. They beat 7 different shades of shit down Dipset's leg tonight. That was like Super Bowl 48, Seahawks 43, Denver Broncos 8. That was an ass whooping. It was never close. It was never a game. It was never competitive. It was never a fight. The same way when Manny Ramirez snapped the ball over Peyton Manning's head for the first play of the game and it was a safety, the ball went out the back of the end zone, it was 2-0 Seattle, and they zoomed the camera in on Peyton Manning's face and he had that long, long, fucked up looking expression on his face, the Manning face, the same face Eli would always have whenever he threw a pick. You can watch some old archival footage, NFL films of their father Archie playing back in the day. He had the same exact expression. That's why they call it Manning face. They know. Peyton Manning knew the game was over. We fucked up already. This is done. This is a wrap. Same thing happened tonight. Cam'ron, Santana, Jones, they all knew. Freaky Zeke, you made a complete ass out of himself the entire night. I don't know what the fuck that brother was doing or what he was on. But all these cats knew straight out the gate. With the way the Lock started, with doing Fuck You straight out the gate, it was over. That was just like Manny Ramirez snapping the ball over Peyton Manning's head in Super Bowl 48. The Locks destroyed Dipset. Jadakiss was like Giannis Antetokounmpo in Game 6. That was a 50-point performance tonight by Jadakiss. That was a 50-point MVP performance. That was 55, 15, 12, 5, and 5 playing all 48 minutes while also guarding the other team's best player. That was incredible. Jadakiss tonight gave the entire world a masterclass on the art of emceeing, moving the crowd, crowd control, performance, stage presence, delivery, conviction, energy, everything, every single aspect that makes a great rapper on stage perform well in front of people. Jadakiss had it in abundance. You want to talk about confident aggression? Holy shit. That was a very confident man on stage. He was highly, very much aggressive. He was a bully on stage. He took Dipset's lunch money up there. And Dipset came out flat. Dipset came out with no emotion, no energy, just going through it. It's like, I don't know, are you high right now? Are you aware the battle started? The battle started very late in true black people fashion. You cannot get a group of black people together to do something and have them start on time. This battle was intended to start at 6 o'clock Pacific time, where I'm at in California, 9 o'clock Eastern time. This battle started at about 7:30. I made food. I went to the store. They was playing a bunch of old classic records, which is cool, which is fine. But, you know, I'm waiting for the battle to start. So I did some other shit, came back. They had Michael Buffer in the ring, the old school boxing announcer, the legendary boxing announcer. Don't quite have it anymore, but that's fine. For nostalgia purposes, it was cool seeing Michael Buffer up there. This is a big fight feel. You can watch this production. You can tell they invested a lot of time and money into this. This was a big deal. This was a moment. This was a celebration of New York hip-hop. This was a celebration of mid-2000s gritty, grimy, hood, street hip-hop music from two of the most legendary groups ever assembled in the history of hip-hop music, Dipset versus the Lox. And like I said, the Lox did not come to play with these boys. Dipset came out with no energy, with nothing to them. I watched this as if I was watching a football game. You watch a football game, you see a team come out the locker room that's flat, and all of a sudden they're down 21-0 in the first quarter before they don't even know what happened. And by the time Dipset tried to get back into the fight, tried to get back into the game, it was too little too late. By the time Dipset played Dipset Anthem, that was no different than a basketball team going on a 9-0 run in the fourth quarter, already down by 30, about 5 minutes left to go. That was no different than a football team being down 45-14 in the fourth quarter, throwing two meaningless touchdown passes to make it 45-28. All you did was cover the spread. You still lost the game. You still lost by double digits. You were never really in this game. All you did was make it a little bit more respectable and cover the spread. That was the effect. That was the equivalent of Dipset playing Dipset Anthem towards the end of the night. By that point, it was already over. Dipset had already gotten their asses kicked badly, decisively, convincingly, undoubtedly, unequivocally. You get the point. Dipset got folded up tonight by the Lox. Something else that happened very early in the battle that let me know it was going to be a long night for Dipset. They weren't even rapping the words to their own song. It looked like Santana forgot most of the words. Same thing with Jim Jones. They were just holding the microphone up to the crowd, say, y'all know the words, y'all sing along. They were lip syncing. Jadakiss called it out. Jadakiss told these guys to their face, y'all up here lip syncing. This is hip hop. We're supposed to perform. This is New York City. This is the Mecca. They came here to see hip hop. They came here to hear some bars. They came here to see a performance. And y'all up here lip syncing. Right then and there. There's a combination of things happened very early in the game. Very early in the battle. Let me know. This is not going to be a good night for Dipset. They are not going to win this. Cam tried as hard as he could, but he had no backup. Jones and Santana contributed almost nothing in this battle. Even when they did the hit songs, like I said, it was lackadaisical. There was no energy behind it. There was no passion behind it. It was like it was kind of going through the motions. We already got paid. We're going to show up here with our jewelry on. We're going to win off swagger and being fly and fancy and all this shit. That wasn't enough. Lox came to perform. Lox came to rap. Jadakiss and Styles came to talk shit. Sheik probably showed up to fight somebody. These guys came here ready to do fucking damage, and do damage they did. Another pivotal moment of the battle that let me know this was going to be a long, ugly night for Dipset. They get into an argument on stage. Jadakiss says to the crowd, you know, this is the Mecca, this is New York City and all that. Tells the DJ play the beat. He plays the Who Shot Ya beat. Jadakiss does a freestyle over it. It was over. It was over several times. Like, it was over, then it was over again, then it was over, then it was over again. It just kept being over. Like, big plays kept happening for the Lox. They kept scoring touchdowns. Dipset kept having to settle for a punt. Dipset kept going three and out. The Lox were putting together scoring drives. They came out aggressive. They ran the football. They played smash mouth between the tackles, north and south, running football. Dipset threw a bunch of incomplete passes. It didn't work. Jadakiss said, y'all can't rap the way we do. Y'all ain't got bars like that. Cam'ron took offense to it. Cam'ron embarrassed himself towards the end of the battle several times, but most notably when Cam was upset about Jada Kiss saying that Dipset couldn't rap like that, and Cam tried to spit a freestyle at the end or a WWE wrestling promo. I don't know what the fuck that was. Whatever it was, it wasn't good. It sucked. It was terrible. He got booed. He forgot his own words. He looked like Papa Doc at 8 Mile up there. He was choking. He started the freestyle, and then he stopped. Then he started up again, then he stopped again. He choked. In the battle rap circles, that's calling Jersey. That means you choked. I didn't like Dipset's song selection, number one. I don't know who the fuck chose the songs they were going to perform. It was a lot of Cam'ron-centric shit. I mean, they played like Certified Gangsters and Santana's Town and our national anthem, the Dipset anthem, and they played I Really Mean It and Old Boy and, you know, a lot of the hit records. But they left some food on the table. I mean, Santana didn't play Clockwork. Santana didn't play Mic Check. He could have played Beamer, Benz, and Bentley, the song he did with Lloyd Banks a long time ago that was fire. He didn't play that. He could have played There It Go, the whistle song. I didn't hear that tonight. I didn't hear Pop Champagne. Cam'ron didn't do Horse and Carriage. How the fuck do you come to a hits battle and Cam'ron doesn't play the song that got him on in the first place? That really blew up his career. How do you not play Horse and Carriage? How do you not play Let Him Know? Who chose the fucking songs tonight? Who put this together for them? Who arranged this? How the fuck do you not play Horse and Carriage or Let Him Know? That's insane. That's crazy. Those are two of your best songs, two of your biggest hits that would have got people going. What means the world to you? Didn't play that. Whoever is the offensive coordinator for Dipset should be fired. They came out with no energy. They did the wrong songs. They did the songs out of order. They tried to close with I Really Mean It. By then, the crowd was already dead. An altercation had broke out on stage when they tried to do Old Boy. Once again, keeping with the football theme, it was like every time Dipset hit a big play, it got called back for illegal formation or somebody was offsides or it was a false start penalty. They're about to do Old Boy. There's like a flood of people on stage. I kept noticing throughout the entire show, there's like more and more people coming on the stage. Like the amount of people on stage is increasing dramatically to the point where there's so many people on stage, they had to stop the show temporarily to tell people to get the fuck off the stage because the stage might actually collapse. And black people being black people, you can't tell black folks what to do. That's impossible. You tell black folks all they got to do is simply move off the stage. They're going to argue and fight with you. They're going to stand there. I was already here. I ain't doing this. I ain't doing that. They had to be warned 10, 20 times. Get the fuck off the stage. The stage might collapse. Get the fuck off the stage. Where does people come from anyway? Almost fucked up the whole battle, but it fucked up Dipset's momentum. Like I said, every time they're trying to get something going, playing I Really Mean It at the end, crowd was dead. Everybody was tired, ready to go home. They'd been there for hours. Most of the time, standing up. Most of the people were smoking, drinking, high, whatever, drunk, ready to go home. Got to get up and go to work tomorrow morning. It's getting late. It's on the East Coast. Like I said, it started at 9 o'clock on the East. This shit ran till about midnight, a little bit past midnight. People were tired. So you really couldn't save your biggest hit records for the end because the crowd was already burnt out. They should have taken that into consideration. Play that shit in the middle. Play that shit in the beginning. Come out the gates with some hot, with some heat. Come out the gates with Santana's Town. Come out the gates with Old Boy. Get it started early. Like I said, Lox got it started early. They came out the gate. They weren't fucking around. They arrived with bad intentions. Dipset, on the other hand, arrived for a fashion show. There was one particularly embarrassing part of the show where Jim Jones made a very big spectacle out of someone bringing him a chain, so he's going to put the chain on to do, I think it was balling. Yeah, right before he's about to go into balling, where Sheik Louche kept calling out the entire night. That shit made me laugh. There were so many funny moments of the battle. All the shit talking going on, all the back and forth, all the banter. It's all love at the end of the day. They're going on tour together. Lox and Dipset are going on tour together starting in September. But Sheik kept calling out and Dipset said, "Where's balling now? I'm waiting for balling." They finally get to it. Jones puts a chain on. It took too long. Same thing. It delayed the momentum. That took the crowd out of it because it looked so lame to begin with. It looked stupid as fuck. Who cares? Just do the song. Dipset was not ready for this tonight. They were not ready for the aggression that the Lox were bringing. Like I said, my man Santana, it hurt me to see how terrible Joel Santana was tonight. That's my favorite member of the group, well, him and Hell Rel. But yeah, Santana was always one of my favorites, man. What the Game been missing? I still play that to this day. It's a classic record. He was up there looking like a fucking zombie. The brother had a headband on top of the hat he was wearing with a Gucci do-rag underneath of it. Joel Santana tonight looked like a pile of dirty laundry. He looked like shit. He just looked ridiculous, sweating his ass off. I'm looking at him with all his fucking clothes on, thinking to myself, you gotta be hot. And the beads of sweat pouring down his face indicated as such. You look ridiculous. He didn't wake up until the very end. It was like already about an hour and 15 minutes into the battle before Santana finally arose out of his slumber and woke the fuck up. It just wasn't enough, and it wasn't enough anything. Vocal projection, crowd control, stage presence, enough charisma. You would think Dipset has charisma, but here's the thing about this kind of battle, this kind of environment. The Lox is better suited for it. They're more aggressive. Dipset's more laid back, braggadocious, arrogant, swagger, you know, all about how they look, the aesthetic and everything. That's more their lane. They're not really about turning up on you or performing at a high level. The Lox, on the other hand, more aggressive, more gritty, more blue collar. They're going to perform for you. And in particular, Jadakiss, who tonight was on steroids. He was on HGH. He was on performance enhancing drugs. He was 2002 Barry Bonds. Dipset should have intentionally walked him. Don't even pitch to Jadakiss. Just put him on first base. Base is loaded. I don't care. Just walk him. That motherfucker was on point tonight. Another pivotal moment of the battle. Cam'ron does Welcome to New York City, one of his classic records, a great song. Crowd was kind of meh, kind of into it, not really. The crowd was kind of lukewarm for Dipset all night, which surprised me because I figured going into the battle, this is in Manhattan. This is where they're from. They're from Harlem. I would figure Dipset would have home court, home field advantage. I would figure the building, most of the people in the building would be a little one-sided, a little biased towards Dipset. But I think the way the Lox came out, with the energy they were putting out, and the way Jadakiss was flowing, I think he snatched the energy and snatched all the momentum from Dipset and made that his stage and made that his show and made all the people in that building fall in love with him. When he did New York, the song he did with Ja Rule and Fat Joe back in the day, I got 100 guns, 100 clips, I'm from New York. When he did that, that was a fucking moment. That looked like a scene out of a movie. First of all, the camera pans out to the wide shot. So you see the majority of the crowd, you see the entire stage, you see the DJ platforms behind the stage. They panned out to this wide shot and they slowly zoom in on Jadakiss. Like the camera descends upon him. While he's rapping and doing his verse from that song, he looked like a goddamn superstar in that moment. He looked like the biggest rap star in the fucking planet right then and there. Whatever rankings you have for all-time great legendary rappers, make sure somewhere in your top 5, top 10, at least top 15, make sure you reserve a spot for Jadakiss. He's got to be in everybody's at least top 15 at this point, based off this performance. I'm not just living in the moment. I'm not just overreacting to what I just saw. This ain't just recency bias. I mean, I'm just stating the fact. This brother's been giving you hits for years. Jadakiss ain't never had a whack verse. Put that into the atmosphere. Jadakiss ain't never had a whack verse. Salute this man for the breath control we had tonight on stage. That's cardio up there. Hip-hop is a sport. There's a little bit of athleticism involved in this. This brother's 46 years of age, pushing 50. Barely broke a sweat up there tonight. Had the lyrical fitness to rap all fucking night. He did most of the heavy lifting for the Lox. Now, Styles jumped in there and did Locked Up with Akon. And he did, of course, he did I Get High and everything, and Good Time song. You know, he did a little bit. Sheik was the happiest man in the world. Once the All About the Benjamins came on, he finally got a chance to rap. Because I swear for about an hour, Sheik was just a hype man, basically, for about an hour. He even snuck in the chorus to Get At Me Dawg, the song he did with DMX. He even snuck that in. He did a few joints here and there. He didn't really do a whole lot. But salute to Sheik, though. Sheik's a legend. It's like all of them are. Every man on stage tonight that was rapping is a certified legend in the culture. I don't want to belittle or knock anybody too much. I'm just having fun with this. But, yeah, he looked like he was the happiest dude in the world once it finally came around for him to rap again. Because, like I said, Jadakiss was doing most of the heavy lifting. Jadakiss was the biggest star. Jadakiss had the lyrical fitness to rap all fucking night, control the stage, control the crowd. That was awesome. That was incredible. If he's not at least your top 15, you out of pocket. You crazy for that. Jadakiss is a legend, one of the greatest rappers who ever lived, ever touched a microphone, ever got on stage to perform in front of people. That's a living legend right there. Salute that man. Give that man his flowers now. There was some food that the Lox left on the table. There were some songs they didn't do. I was waiting for him to do Run. His verse to Run, the song he did with Ghostface Killah, that verse is fucking crazy. I was waiting for him to do that joint. That'd have been fire. Styles didn't do Gangsta and the Gentleman. I was waiting on that one. So, you know, both groups had some songs they left out that I was waiting to hear, that I kind of wanted to hear. And in the absence, they did some songs I really didn't care about. A few songs here and there from both groups. But I was waiting for a few songs to be played. You can't be greedy. You can't always get everything you want. I mean, I'll just be grateful we got this. This was hip-hop tonight. This was my era, like I said on the previous podcast. If you ain't from a certain era, this ain't for you. Sit this one out, ride the bench. If you don't know about these songs, if you didn't grow up in that era, the mid-2000s, the late 90s into the 2000s, if you ain't from that era, this ain't for you. Go fuck with something else. Go listen to somebody else. Entertain yourself in a different capacity. That whole era, the whole 2000s decade, had fire-ass material coming out from rappers all over the country, the way it used to be the good old days when you had different rappers from different parts of the map representing it, putting on. You had a brother like Nelly come out of nowhere in St. Louis, Missouri. You never heard of a rapper from St. Louis, Missouri before Nelly. This brother came out of nowhere, put a whole different part of the country on the hip-hop map, brought his people with him, had his own style, his own flow, did his own thing. No major affiliations. Nobody was really co-signing Nelly either. Nelly came out the gate on his own and established himself as his own thing. He was fire. I don't give a fuck what anybody says. That's my opinion. Nelly, to me, was fire. Pretty much everybody out in that decade was fire. G-Unit was fire at that time. State Property was fire. Young Gunners, Young Chris and Neef, Freeway, Beanie Siegel, Petey Crack, Memphis Bleek, my man M-E-M-P-H-I-S Bleek. A lot of motherfuckers hate on Bleek. I'm like Memphis Bleek's biggest fan. To me, Memphis Bleek was fire. I don't care what anybody says. Trick Daddy was fire at that time. T.I. just come on the scene. They did a song together around here. That shit was crazy. Ludacris came out the South. You had Outkast still holding it down, still doing their thing. Scarface representing Texas. UGK, RIP to the Pimp, Pimp C. They was holding it down. 8-Ball and MJG. Mike Jones, Slim Thug, Paul Wall. I mean, you had cats from all over the place holding it down in the 2000s. The whole country, the whole map was putting out fire-ass material. Fabulous was on top during that era. It was one of the more prominent rappers of that era. That was when Lil Wayne was at his best with the Carter 1, Carter 2, the Dedication mixtapes, the Drought mixtapes. That's when Lil Wayne was really Lil Wayne during that time. You had peak, prime, Nas, and Jay-Z. Well, I'll take that back. I won't say prime Nas during that era, because to me, prime Nas is his first two albums, Illmatic and It Was Written. But to me, I think that was prime Jay-Z from about 98 to about 2007. You know, I think during that time, Jay-Z put out In My Lifetime, Volume 1, Volume 3, Life and Times of S. Dot Carter. He put out the Dynasty album in 2000. He put out the Blueprint 1 in 2001, Blueprint 2 in around 2002, and then put out the Black Album, which to me is the best Jay-Z record ever, slightly better than Reasonable Doubt. But the Black Album came out around 03, 04. The album he said he was allegedly going to retire on. We all knew that was bullshit. That album is pretty much flawless. That's a perfect hip-hop record. So you had prime Jay-Z. Nas was still great. You had prime Eminem during this period. You had the Slim Shady LP come out in 98. You had the Marshall Mathers LP come out in 2000. You had the Eminem Show come out. You had Encore come out. That was peak Eminem. Eminem's first four albums are classic records. Everything since that, with the exception of the Relapse, has been complete shit. To me, Eminem hasn't put out a good record in over a decade, since 2009 when Relapse came out. Recovery and the Marshall Mathers LP Part 2 was fucking hot dog water. That's just garbage. Eminem, during this time frame I'm talking about, during the late 90s, all the way to the early to mid-late 2000s, fire. That's the best Eminem that ever existed. That whole Shady Aftermath movement they were putting together. OB Trice was fire. D12 was dope. Rest in peace to Proof, but a lot of brothers didn't really fuck with D12. I did. Devil's Night, their first record, is fucking phenomenal. That's another great record. Pistol, Shit Can Happen, Nasty Mind, Instigator, Fight Music, Purple Pills. That's a dope-ass record, man. Shady Aftermath was killing shit for like a good 4 or 5 year run. You gotta think, when G-Unit really got established, 50 came out with Get Rich or Die Trying. That shit went diamond. Then Lloyd Banks came out with Hunger for More. That shit went multi-times platinum. They had The Game representing the West Coast with the documentary. He went platinum. You had Young Buck with Straight Outta Cashville coming out of Nashville, Tennessee. That joint went gold, almost went platinum. Tony Yayo, Thoughts of a Predicate Felon. That also went gold. Everything G-Unit put out for like a 2 or 3 year stretch was guaranteed to at least go gold, to sell records, to resonate, and to make an impact. G-Unit was a force to be reckoned with during this era. There were so many. Young Jeezy's first record, Thug Motivation 101, came out in about 2006, 2007. There were so many classic records and songs that came out in this era. And I've always felt like it doesn't get talked about enough. When people talk about the golden ages, the golden eras of hip-hop, they talk about 1988 and 1994, and deservedly so. There was a lot of great music that came out in 88 and 94 as well. But people always overlook what happened between 98 and about 2007, almost a full decade of fire-ass music. I compare that to professional wrestling. It's like people were talking about the rock and wrestling era of the 80s and early 90s, the Hulk Hogan era, basically. They'll talk about the Attitude Era of the late 90s when Stone Cold and The Rock and all them guys on top. But there's never too much discussion about the Ruthless Aggression Era, which was better than the Attitude Era and better than the Rock and Wrestling Era. I would make that argument that the era of hip-hop between 98 and 2008 was the golden age of hip-hop. I'll make that argument right now. I will stand on that argument. I will die on that hill. 98 to 2008, all things considered, was the best era of hip-hop music. The lyricism was better. There was more diversity in hip-hop. More areas of the country were being represented. Everyone had their own distinct, unique flow and rhythm about themselves. It wasn't like it is now where like everyone sounds just alike. Brothers back then, really, in the 90s was like that too. But the late 90s, early 2000s was like that even more. The talent level had risen in hip-hop, I think. You had all the people I just named. You also had like the conscious neo-soul contingent of rappers. You had the raucous record brothers like Talib Kweli and Mos Def and Pharoah Monch. You had Common out of Chicago. You had young backpack-wearing Kanye West also coming out of Chicago. His debut record, College Dropout's a fucking classic. You had so much heat coming out in this era. And like I said, the overall lyricism was better than any previous era. You had a number of legends being created in this era who are all still viable commodities to this day. They're all still name brand people. You even had like someone like Lil Bow Wow that was like not really my cup of tea, but he was a big star during that time. Soulja Boy too. Even guys like that, like even the dudes like weren't so technically sound or lyrical, could still carve a niche for themselves and still put out quality, decent music. You know, that shit holds up to this day. Even someone like Waka Flocka holds up to this day. And in retrospect, Waka Flocka sounds like Rakim compared to DaBaby or any other new rappers out right now. It was better shit. Maybe I'm being nostalgic right now, but to me, that era was just so much better. Night and day, leaps and bounds, better than what's going on right now. It's a really, to me, underrated era of hip-hop that people don't talk about enough. And it was on full display tonight how great that era was and how lucky we were to receive that as fans, to say we were around for that time to be fans of, to consume that music in real time. It was a wonderful thing to see that celebration of hip-hop music tonight, to see that celebration of black people tonight. You know, that's one of the coolest things, probably my favorite thing about the Versus battle in general, the whole format. It's for us. It's like FUBU. It's for us, by us. This is all black people. Every single Versus battle, every single artist that's participated in this has been black. This is for us. This is our culture. This ain't for the rest of the population. This ain't for the colonizers. This ain't for the other folks, the clear folks, the palm-colored people. This is for black folks. The majority of that crowd, about 98% of the crowd tonight, was black folks. Almost everybody on stage was black. There was like one white dude on stage. He probably runs the whole thing, honestly. He looked like he had a lot of money. Made no mistake about it. Nothing's ever going to be 100% black. It's never going to be 100% exclusive just to us. Anytime you have a situation, a moment like this, an event like this, where a lot of money can be made, there's going to be some white people nearby to profit off it. But for the most part, this is for us. The people on stage look like me. I identify with this. This is my era. This is black people. This is the music I grew up listening to, riding around in my car, blasting all day, every day, twice on Sunday. This is my music, my era, my shit. I dressed like these guys back in the day. I listen to them all the time. I still listen to them to this day. And this was so wonderful. This was a joyous occasion to watch this. Fortunately, probably the best thing out of the whole situation, the whole event, there was no violence that we saw. No one got beat up on stage. There was one moment, though, where I thought something was going to jump off. There was one moment when Jadakiss snatched a bandana off of Joel Santana's head. I thought to myself, oh, shit, here we go. Because they were going at each other all night, talking shit, a lot of friendly banter back and forth, cussing each other out in a playful way. But then when that happened, they were like bumping into each other, kind of pushing and shoving a little bit. Santana kept trying to interrupt them, and he walked through them. And then Jadakiss took his bandana off, threw it on the ground or whatever. Santana just laughed it off. Like I said, they all cool with each other. They're all going on tour with each other. And they kept saying repeatedly, we're not trying to fuck the money up. We ain't trying to fuck the bag up. We here to make this money and keep making this money and go on tour together and be prosperous and do our thing and give back to the fans who supported us for so many years. Don't fuck the money up. So other than that, and like I said, the increasing amount of people who came on stage towards the end, there was no real hiccups, no problems. They ended in peace. They all dapped each other up, hugged each other, walked off stage together. Everyone had a great time from what I could see. I had a fun time watching it on my computer. A lot of people interacting on social media. I will say this right now, though. The only people who think Dipset won that battle are born and raised in Harlem, New York. You have to be from Harlem. You have to be that biased to think that Dipset somehow won this battle. The only people I've seen online saying that Dipset won this battle are motherfuckers I know are from Harlem. Nobody in any of the other boroughs thinks that Dipset won this battle. Nobody in Queens or Bronx or Staten Island or Brooklyn thinks that Dipset won this battle. Nobody in upstate New York, in Yonkers or Long Island or Rochester or Syracuse or Albany or Buffalo thinks that Dipset won this battle. Nobody in any of the other 49 states thinks that Dipset won this battle. They lost decisively. They got blown out. They got run off the floor. They got skunked. It might have been a clean sweep. I don't think Dipset got a round in this battle. I think every single round, all 20 of them, or however many it was, all went to the locks. They overpowered them. They got their asses kicked. Dipset did not win this battle. And unless you're a diehard, obsequious Dipset fan or somebody from Harlem that just can't face facts and deal with reality, can't admit that your guys lost tonight, nobody's calling this a win for Dipset. Just go on social media. Go on IG. Go on Facebook. Go anywhere. And just see the reactions that people are putting out. Everyone, it's unanimous. It's 100% unanimous. The general consensus says that Dipset got destroyed tonight. I'm a Dipset fan. I have no problem admitting that. Like I said, I watch this from the same lens of watching a football game or a basketball game. I'm a Laker fan. I'm a 49er fan. I watched the Lakers lose plenty of games. I watched the 49ers lose a lot of football games. I watched them lose two Super Bowls. I can admit when they lose. I can admit when the 49ers play like shit. I can admit when they didn't execute properly. I can admit when they had a stupid game plan. I can admit when certain players didn't show up in pivotal situations. Like tonight for Dipset, Joel Santana didn't show up. Jim Jones didn't show up. It was Cam'ron by himself. Cam'ron looked like Kobe Bryant in 2005 playing for the Lakers, playing alongside Smush Parker and Chris Mim and Brian Cook. Guys like that, Luke Walton. That's how Cam looked out there tonight. One man trying to carry the team like LeBron in the 2007 finals. You know, they put that, I'll never forget this, watching that finals. They put a graphic up advertising like the big star players in the game. And for Cleveland, it was just LeBron by himself. And for San Antonio, it was Parker, Duncan, and Ginobili. So in effect, it was like 1 versus 3. That's kind of how this battle was. It was 1 versus 3 because Santana and Jim Jones didn't show up tonight. It's okay. You can admit it. It's okay. They're still Dipset. They still got a lot of money. They're still popular. They're still famous. They're going to be here. The sun's going to rise tomorrow. And if you're from Harlem, just admit it. Just face facts and deal with reality. Your team lost tonight. Dipset didn't get the job done. You put on them big-ass bandanas, 1,000 fucking chains. You wore your South Pole jacket, your Aniche jeans tonight with the NBA logo patches on them. You did all that shit, and you got destroyed. You got embarrassed tonight. But as a whole, nobody lost tonight. The fans won. The culture won. Hip-hop won tonight because hip-hop was on full display, being led by Jadakiss, of course, the MVP of tonight's performance, the Giannis Antetokounmpo of this performance. As a fan of both of these groups for a long time, It was just a joy, just fun to watch this. And like I said, nobody lost. The culture won. It was a great time. Salute the Versus for doing their thing. Salute these cats for coming together. When they go on tour, wherever I'm at in America at that time, I hope to go see that tour. I need to go see that tour. Like I said earlier, I've never seen the Lox or Dipset on tour in concert. I've seen a lot of people. Never seen either one of these guys. After tonight, I want to see this concert. So wherever they're at, if they come somewhere within 200 miles of me, wherever I'm at, I'm going to go see this concert. I need to see this concert. Lox and Dipset on tour together this fall. Be on the lookout. Come into a city near you. Support hip-hop, man. Support our elders, our veterans of the culture. Support these brothers. Go out and see them. Spend some money on them. And above all else, be peaceful when you go out. Be like the crowd tonight. Be peaceful. I know how black folks are. I love black people to death. I'm black all day. I'm blacker than the Ace of Spades. Nothing but love for black people. There's nothing I love more on this earth than black people. But I know how we are. You get a group of black folks together, something's probably going to go down. So when you go see this show, with the energy and the testosterone flowing in the building, all the gangster, tough, hardcore, gritty songs that you're hearing at night, keep your emotions in check. Chill out. It's just like the great Chris Rock once said, young black men, if you're out at a party or a function somewhere and someone steps on your shoes, let it slide. Don't spend the next 25 years in jail because someone smudged your Puma. Take it easy. Take a deep breath. Relax. It's just music. Came here to celebrate. Have a good time. Enjoy the show and support the culture and support real hip hop. Support our veterans. Support our elders in the community, in the culture. And that's all I got, man. Dipset, Lox, Versus Battle, fire. It did not disappoint. It lived up to expectation. I might go back and watch it again sometime this week. It was that good. I fuck with it. I really enjoyed it. If you haven't seen it yet, it's going to be on Versus. It's going to be on online and multiple platforms. It's going to be on YouTube. Go check it out. If you got time to check it out, if you're a hip-hop fan, if you're a certain age, or you're from that era, you're going to like this shit. You're going to fuck with it. So Lox and Dipset, salute to both of them putting on for the culture. Salute the Versus for putting it on for the culture. Salute to you for listening to the Dion Gordon podcast. You have good taste. Eternally grateful, always humble, very much appreciative. Picture me rolling. I'm out.